Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Be in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. The title of the message this morning is Abram's Battle. Abram's Battle. And we have outlines. Have we handed the outlines out yet? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about that. And Steve forgot about it too. So he's going to be coming around and handing out the outlines. That gives you this morning and tonight's outline. Between this morning and tonight, we'll do the entire 14th chapter of Genesis. So Abram's battle. Later on, his name is changed to Abraham, but right now he's still called Abram. God changed his name. But as those outlines come around, I'll go ahead and read verse 1 of chapter 14. This is a very historic passage because it is probably the first time in history that a major military battle is described in literature. And so you have this battle that took place that is in inspired scripture, and the only reason that God has it put in the Bible is because it concerns Abraham. And so we will read about this. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar." And so we're going to read about this, and the title of the message is Abraham's or Abram's Battle. So we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the ability to be here this morning. We pray for those who are sick and not able to be here. We do pray that you would forgive us for our sins, fill us with your Holy Spirit, help us to enjoy this time of worship, and help us to get what we need out of your word. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So the first thing we see is those who fought. That's in verses 1 and 2. "And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemember, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar." So these had a fight. They had a battle. These kingdoms and these people had a battle. Now the second thing we'll see is where they fought, and that's in verse 3. "All these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea." That's very interesting. The Bible says that they gathered together in this valley of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. Of course, the Salt Sea still exists today in the Middle East. And Gill says this about it. He says, "Which is the Salt Sea, afterwards so called, not at this time. For then it would not have been fit for armies to be drawn up in battle array in it. But it was so called in the times of Moses, and after this fine valley was turned into a salty lake, and had its name from the saltness of the waters of the lake, or from the city of Malek, or city of salt, which was near it." So Gill says that they were actually fighting in that day in a valley which later became the Salt Sea. So by the time of Moses, this was actually a lake filled with salt where they were fighting. That's very interesting. Now I'll show you a map here of how this battle kind of worked, and we'll read about this as we go through. But you'll notice that up in the north there, you see, and I'm going to have to turn around and look at it here where it's larger, But you see, Shinar, Elam, Elasar, and Goim, which is a title, King of Nations, they're coming down from the north to the south. And they created a lot of havoc and devastation as they marched down that way. And they come to Sodom and Gomorrah and these folks, and they get in a battle there. And then, as we'll read, they take some people captive and they take their stuff captive. And so they go on south and they start to come up and go north. And Abraham, that's number 5 on the map, Abraham starts pursuing them. And right up around Dan, they get in another battle and Abraham defeats them. And so we'll read about that as we go through here. But that kind of gives you an overview of the battle. Now, the third thing we'll look at is the reason why they fought. The reason why they fought. Well, when you have a fight, there has to be a reason for it. So the reason why they fought. The Bible says in verse 4, 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. So Chedorlaomer was the most important of these kings or these kingdoms, and he had gotten all these people under subjection to him. And no doubt they would pay him tribute and they would do things for him. And so they got sick of it. They did it for 12 years. And in the 13th year, they decided to rebel. And so they created a rebellion. Now, the fourth thing we will look at is the battle. And this is verses 5 through 12. So in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. So they had an alliance, kind of like NATO. They had an alliance. And so they had rebelled, these people in the 13th year rebelled against Chedorlaomer. And so in the 14th year, he got his alliance together, and I guess he hadn't gotten any money. And so he said, we got to go down and get these people back in order. So he went down with his alliance. And the Bible says, and he smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnam, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Sheva, Kirathaim. And so he comes through basically creating devastation everywhere he goes. This is a real redneck type chapter. I mean, they're coming down. He's just beating up everybody as he comes down. There's one archaeologist that said that when he looked at this area, that everything showed evidence of just having been torn to pieces. Like he just devastated everything in his path. And so he's coming down, creating havoc and devastation. And the Bible says, and the Horites in their Mount Seir unto Elparam, which is by the wilderness. And verse 7, and they returned and came to En-Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazezo-Matamar. And there went out, verse 8, and there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboim and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim. So he's coming down, wreaking havoc as he goes, defeating all these different people, his alliance. And so this other alliance comes out to meet him in this valley of Siddim, which later became the Salt Sea, and they meet in battle. And of course, Chedorlaomer, being a much bigger and better army, he defeats them. And so we see in verse 9, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings with 5. So they were having this battle. And the Vale of Siddim was full of slime pits. So there were all these tar pits, asphalt pits. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountain. So obviously, they were just getting destroyed. He was coming down. And I remember when I was in high school, I was in the marching band. And Dalton had an excellent football team at that time, and Southeast did not. And so we went over to Southeast High for a football game, and they didn't like us, so they had put they had greased our stands. That wasn't very funny, but at any rate, they did that, and then we so we had to move, and we but I remember that game, and it was just a slaughter. It was like Dalton, they didn't score anything. I mean, Dalton was just the whole time, touchdown, 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 touchdown. And it was just an absolute slaughter. And that's the way this was. These people, Chedorlaomer and his alliance, were the biggest, baddest people on the block. And so they came through, and it was just an absolute slaughter. And the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and all these cities and their alliance started running. And they ran up to the mountains that were on the sides of the valley, and they fell. They got bogged down in these tar pits that were along the way. You know, one of the mistakes that Hitler made when during World War II is he attempted to attack Russia, the USSR. And that was a big mistake because they had Russian winters, and also the maps they put out were not very accurate. They hid their real roads, and so he came in with his armies to try and attack them, and his armies weren't prepared for the harsh Russian winter, and they got bogged down and got killed and froze to death. And so what's happening here is this army is not prepared. This alliance is not prepared for battle with Chedorlaomer and his people, and they get bogged down in their own slime pits, and they start fleeing up to the mountain. And so Chedorlaomer takes all their stuff, the Bible says, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals, and they went their way. So, yeah, that's a little bit of country terminology there, but they took all their stuff and all their food. They took all their supplies. They cleaned them out. They utterly defeated them. Took their victuals. And I've heard people try to be proper and pronounce it victuals, but that's not the way it's pronounced, victuals. That's the way you literally pronounce it. Scorby, Alexander Scorby says it that way. Everybody says it that way. Granny says it that way on the Beverly Hillbillies, victuals. They took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot. Now, this is where they made their mistake. You know, Lot had chosen, as we read last week, Lot had chosen, Abraham had to separate with Lot. And Abraham said, you choose whatever you want and I'll take what's left over. And Lot, being a greedy person, chose the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he chose the best land, and he took the best land and left Abraham what was left over. And actually, after Lot was gone, God told Abraham, well, I'm just going to give you everything. So, but Lot had chosen this land, and so he was living there. And Abraham never would have gotten upset by this whole thing. He would have stayed out of it, but they took his family. They took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Lot had a lot of goods, by the way. Matthew Henry says, particular mention is made of their taking Lot's goods, those goods which had occasioned his contest with Abram and his separation from him. Note that it is just with God to deprive us of those enjoyments by which we have suffered ourselves to be deprived of our enjoyment of Him. And so this doesn't always happen, but it is a truth that when we put things before God, sometimes God takes those things from us because we have put them before God. Doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. And it's certainly just with God to do so. So the fifth thing is that Abraham is informed that Lot has been taken captive. And that's verse 13. And there escaped one that had, and there came one that had escaped. And he told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Anar, and these were confederate with Abram. And so they had an alliance as well, these folks, with Abram. And Abram, You know, we think of people today and we think of, you know, just a family that lives in a house. But Abram had, you know, he was basically his own ruler. He had his own servants. He had hundreds of servants. He had just a ton of stuff. And so it would have been like a kingdom or a city. And so he had an alliance with these other people. He had a confederation. And so he was informed of what had happened. And then the sixth thing we see is that Abram takes action. He takes action, verses 14 through 16. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. So you see that Abram was a man of action. As soon as he heard that his relative had been taken captive, now again, if they had not touched Lot, Abram wouldn't have done anything. He wouldn't have gotten involved. No need to get involved when it doesn't concern you. A lot of people don't realize that. But there's no need to get involved when it doesn't concern you. People get on Facebook and get in battles with people they don't even know. I mean, it's entertaining sometimes, but the truth is there's really no need to get involved if it doesn't concern you. So Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his trained servants. So he had servants that he'd trained, and these people knew that they could face battle. So these weren't, when it says trained servants, these people were trained for military battle. And Abraham arms them, and he had 318. And in addition to these, he also had these other men that were in confederation with him. So he had their armies as well. So they all got together and they pursued them to Dan. So basically, as we showed you on the map, the kings from the north come down. They have this battle at Sodom and Gomorrah. They defeat them. They take Lot captive and they head south and they turn around and start heading north. They go up the other way north. And so Abraham comes out as they're headed north and he starts pursuing them. So he starts picking them off as they're heading north until they get up to Dan. And then when they get in Dan, he has his main battle. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. So Abraham is a smart guy. He doesn't attack during the day. He attacks at night. You know, one of the reasons, as we all probably learned in school, I don't know if they still teach this in school, but we learned it in school, that the British were defeated in the United States. And one of the reasons why they were is because they came out in proper military lines with their red coats and all of that, and their pretty military uniforms. And the rebellious Americans hid and sabotaged them and came out and dressed in regular clothes and started shooting from behind rocks and trees and so on and so forth. And so that's what Abraham did. Abraham attacks at night. He had his night vision equipment, no doubt, primitive night vision equipment. He comes out and attacks them at night, and he divides against them. So he uses some kind of a splitting up. I think they call that a pincer move or something like that. He splits up and attacks them from either side. And he smote them, the Bible says. He beat them up, and he pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. So Abraham successfully defeated these armies, which had defeated everybody else. Chedorlaomer and his armies had destroyed all these other people, but when Abraham got involved, Abraham defeated them. And that's because God blessed Abraham, and God had appointed Abraham to destroy these people, and God, and they made a mistake by taking Lot. So Abraham took action. Now there are times when you need to take action. There are times when you need to take action. Number one, if you're not saved, take action and get saved this morning. Don't wait to get saved another day. There's no reason to wait. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. There's no need to wait for another time. Some people want to wait until they've got their life cleaned up, and that makes as much sense as going to a hospital when you're well. Jesus said, they that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so the time to get saved, to put your faith in Jesus Christ is now, not tomorrow, because you don't know if you'll have tomorrow. Number two, if your family is in danger, take action. Abraham took action when his family was in danger. They were taken captive. And a lot of us have family members that are not saved. And the Bible talks about unsaved people it says silly women laden with sin. That's what it's talking about. But it uses the phraseology that they are taken captive by the devil at his will. And there are people that are like toys of the devil. They're not saved. They've not come to Christ. They don't know Christ. Or perhaps they're backslidden. And so the devil is just manipulating their lives. And some of you have family members like that. And the time to take action is now. Abraham was willing to get up and go to war. And sometimes we need to go to spiritual war for our families. We need to pray for them, and we need to witness to them. And if we face opposition and we face people getting mad that we've witnessed to them, we need to do it nonetheless, because there is a spiritual war, and the devil wants to destroy their lives, and he wants their souls in hell. And so we need to go to battle. And warfare, praying for God to save them is an act of warfare praying, and we need to be willing to do that despite the opposition that comes. And so, if your family's in danger, take action. Number three, if you're in spiritual decline, take action. Don't sit in spiritual decline. If you've left off, if you used to read the Bible every day and you've quit doing that, take action. Start reading it again. If you've let some sin creep into your life, which is kind of controlling you and kind of causing you or kind of manipulating your life now and kind of become prominent in your life, get rid of it. Take action. Quit it. Stop. Take action. If you used to go to church faithfully and you've quit doing it, take action. Get back in church. If you're in spiritual decline, take action. Action. It is time to take action. There's times for action. There's times to sit and wait and see what happens, and there's times to take action. As soon as Abraham heard, "My family has been taken captive," he immediately got his servants and said, "Okay, boys, let's fight. Here's the guns. Let's go." Well, they didn't have guns, but whatever they had. And he says, "Let's go fight." And he took action, and there are times when we need to take action as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these, thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray that we would take action that needs to be taken. I pray if anyone here is not saved, that you convict them and they would get saved this morning. I pray if there are people here that are backslidden, that they would get right with you this morning. I pray that if we need to reach our families, that we would make an effort to do that as soon as possible. And I pray that you would just help us to take the action we need to take this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. All right, we will stand and sing a verse.